Well, if you'd open up your Bibles with me this morning, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Would you also stand with me for the reading of God's Word? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Would you pray with me? Christ, we come before you this morning as a people who are in desperate need of your help. We need your word today. Lord, in a world in which it is calling out for our attention in so many different areas of life, seeking to call us to false gospels, seeking to pull us astray from you, I pray that this morning as we gaze into your word that we might see the reality and the truth of the lives in which we are called to live. And I pray that as we look into your word as into a mirror, Lord, we might not be a man who just gazes at his faith and then walks away forgetting who he was, but really seeing, Lord, who you call us to be, seeing the image of Christ, seeing the glory of God on display, and that we might seek to conform to the image of Christ this morning. I pray that we may come out of this place being doers of your word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Lord, people of faith who really believe in your word and take it to heart. We just praise you and thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So the last couple weeks, Pastor Daniel has been talking about the temptations of Jesus Christ as he's been walking throughout the book of Luke. And today I want us to look at why we can be encouraged amongst temptations, why we can be encouraged amongst afflictions, how you are to be encouraged among the sufferings and the things that you are enduring for Christ. In this world, you can really see what it values based upon just even simple Google searches. You could probably look up today, don't do it right now during the sermon, but if you were to, you could type in, who are some of the most successful people in the world? And I can probably tell you who would pull up are people who are part of leadership seminars, maybe pro bowlers, maybe it would be the richest men in the world like Bill Gates or Elon Musk, maybe it would be some of the most powerful men in the world who have ever lived. You might think of kind of different empires that rose up like Genghis Khan and whatnot. If you were to determine who is the most successful person in the world is going to look at all these different categories. Today we're inside 2 Corinthians, and Paul is talking to a church that really looked to worldly wisdom. They looked to the things of the world to bring them success many times. You see inside the first book of 1 Corinthians, he's saying how the gospel is the foolishness of man, but the wisdom of God. You see here inside 2 Corinthians, he is pleading with them to bear with him a little bit longer. He's talked about how he was going to come to them, but he didn't want to come to them because it might bring about another painful visit. This church, though they had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from Paul, though they had believed in the gospel, they started going astray after principles of the world. They kept on heeding to the lives in which they once lived, seeking to find their value in what brings them about prosperity in this life, their joy, their hope, and the things of this world, whether it be wisdom, power, whether it was who they followed. I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. And here inside 2 Corinthians, we even see them talk about these other super apostles, these other people from the outside who were enticing the church to go another way. But amongst all this, we see the man Paul. And Paul was not a man who operated in these principles because he looked at something different. Paul was a man who was not the kind of leader that the church of Corinth wanted. He did not look physically maybe appealing. If you look there right before our verses here in verse 16, he says this in verses 8 through 12. He says, talking about him and his companions, "We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." He says we are continually given over to death. The dying of Jesus Christ being manifested in their bodies. In a system and a world of thought, in a church that would be valuing the things and the ways of the world, man, who wants to stick around with a guy that's getting beat up all the time? That's constantly getting in trouble, that's getting thrown out of synagogues, that's getting run out of different towns. This is not the kind of guy that if you are like wanting to be renowned among your communities for maybe being a great athlete or having a lot of wealth or being really popular, this is not the man that you would run to. But yet, this was the one whom God had given them. And God, working through Paul, brings them to here in verse 16, to tell them and to explain to them why they do not lose heart. How Paul and his companions, though outwardly everything is being crushed around them, though outwardly in the world's way of looking at things, they are losing. They are losing. They are not wealthy. They are not look like they are prospering. They are being destroyed. It does not look like things are going well for them. But yet he gives them these words for them not to lose heart. And today, as we look at this text, I want us to see why we do not have to lose heart among trials and how we can be encouraged. I want us today, in today's text, to see three comparisons that is given by God that produce hope when understood and believed in. The first comparison is decay versus renewal. The second comparison that we will see is momentary and light affliction versus eternal weight of glory. And the last comparison that we will see is the seen temporal versus the unseen eternal. And in each one of these things, we're going to see how each of these comparisons that Paul lines out is ones in which he looked to, that he found encouragement in, things that encouraged him as he ran this race of life and was afflicted and tried in various ways. So if you would look with me there, in verse 16, he says this, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart." He has just said this previously in chapter 4, verse 1. He has been talking about how we do not lose heart, how we persevere amongst these trials and the things that are going on amongst them. He says that he has begun, as he's begun to explain this, you might begin to ask, why would Paul say we do not lose heart? One, because it was hard. This ministry that Paul was living out, this was hard work. We do not lose heart because we could if we operate in a certain principle. Things were hard for Paul. As we saw, he was being struck down. They had perplexities. You see him, he talks about all the things in which he endured in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. There was much trials and tribulations that Paul went through, but he says, we do not lose heart. Well, why? But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. He was looking to something else. Here we see. There was a comparison that he saw. He said, we do not lose heart, but though we see this, though we see our outer self is wasting away, this word decay is referring to something being destroyed. We see that he is talking about his physicalness, the thing that has been affected by sin, the world that's been affected by sin around him. It is being destroyed. It's something that is not lasting, this outer man, but it is temporal. He talks about himself in chapter 4, verse 7, right before this, as being like we, like jars of clay, like these earthen vessels. When you think of a jar of clay, you think of something brittle, you think of something that could just break simply just by a simple smash. That is how Paul describes this earthly body. He describes it going on right after this inside chapter 5. He continues to talk about like it's a tent. Okay, now many of us, we might go camping and things. We set up a tent because we're not going to be there very long, right? No one goes out for a weekend vacation and throws up a whole entire log cabin unless you were like ultra or something. But no, we throw up tents because we understand we're just here for a short time. This is just temporal. And he says, these bodies are just temporal. They're just tents. We're just here just for a short time. And in this tent, we are groaning as we wait for the mortal to be swallowed up by life, to be swallowed up by eternal life. This outer man is decaying. One commentator put, the outer person is what belongs to this world that is temporary and crumbling, and what those who only evaluate the things of a fleshly perspective can see. This is the outer man. And he says, we do not lose heart, though it is being destroyed. And he says, yet. He acknowledges this reality, that this is being torn up. This is going away, yet. We need to lock into what Paul is saying here when he says, yet. When you see verses, when they have these contrasting statements, you really need to tie into it. You need to see this. Because we need to see what Paul is saying here when he says, yet. Yet we do not lose heart. When our literal physical lives are crumbling, we do not lose heart. You may have come here today with cancer. You may come here today with financial distraughtness. You may have come here with broken marriages. You may have come here with coworkers who chastise and hate you. You may have come here with various things. But Paul is going to give you some encouraging words now from the Word of God, some sustaining truth that can help you through these things. He's saying the outer man is decaying. And he doesn't go to this outer man to seek renewal. He says that yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Though things around us are falling apart, we do not rush to our 401k for hope. We do not rush to that future, maybe just this next season is going to get better. He says, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. And this is where we see the decay, our first comparison, decay versus renewal. Decay versus renewal. So why is this outer man decaying and the inner man is being renewed simultaneously? What is this inner man? What is going on here? And for those of you who might be new to the church, for those of you who might be new in Christ, and for those of you who are mature in Christ, I want to do a little bit rehash of what it means of talking about this inner man, what it means to be in Christ. What it means to be in Christ. When we talk about this inner man, he's talking about that which is being renewed, that which is not being affected by the decay and the sin of this world, that which has been saved apart from that. And we know as believers, that is those who are found in Christ. In the Bible, it explains that from the beginning of creation, there was God. And God was eternal, and God is the one who always has been and always will be. And he created man to glorify him. But man sinned against God. He went away from God, rebelling against his righteous commands, and thus he deserved death For the penalty of sin is death. In that rebellion of sin, death entered in the world. And death spread to all mankind, for all mankind had sinned. And the Old Testament speaks and continually shows about how man was fallen and depraved away from God. But yet it also spoke about one who was to come to save his people, to save God's people. And this person to come was Jesus Christ, to save his people from the destruction that they rightly deserved, from the judgment of God that deserved to be poured out upon them. And he sent this man, Jesus Christ. He sent this, it was sent himself. God came in the flesh, fully God, fully man, born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Most High. And he came and fulfilled all righteousness. He was a blameless Lamb of God who was crucified on a cross, who bore the sins of those who would confess their sins and believe in him. He would bear those sins, bear the wrath of God on their behalf, and those who believe in him would be risen again as he was risen from the dead. As he conquered sin and death, so those who believed in him will also rise from the dead. And those who believe in him, it talks about how they are now a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. If you cannot say that is you today, then you need to come talk to me after service. You need to bow your head in prayer right now and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to repent and believe, because you are headed for destruction if you do not believe on this Lord Jesus Christ. But for those who have believed, they are a new creation. They have been made new. They are a new person. They are found in Christ Jesus. This is the inner man. This is who they are. They are no longer prone to decay, but prone to eternal life. They are saved now for eternity. Now, this inner man that he talks about is talking about, he says, is being renewed day by day, though. So it's like, okay, so if I've been made new in Christ, but yet, how am I being renewed day by day? How is this happening? How is this going on day by day? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4:10, as we just said, he says, always carrying about in the body of the dying Jesus, so the life of Jesus may be manifest in our bodies. Paul recognized that every day he was to pour out his life for Christ. Every day he was to live for him. Because he recognized that though we are found in Christ, God shows in his word that though we are in Christ, we are still seeking to be conformed to Christ in these earthly bodies each day. That we are in this maturing process, that we call it sanctification, that we are being made more like Christ, that we are to seek to be put on Christ in our lives. As we think about Colossians 3, 9 through 10, do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So how are believers then renewed day by day? How does the sanctification process work? Well, right before this, inside 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he says this, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings about this transformation in our lives. The Holy Spirit does about this by beholding the glories of Christ. How do we behold the glories of Christ? But through the Word of God. When we look into the Word of God, when we gaze into the glories of Christ, we become more like Him as we behold Him by the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives. Are you tired of what you're like? Are you frustrated with struggles and things that are overwhelming you? Look to what the Word of God says about those things and how you need to be conforming to the image of Christ in those things. We become like Christ as we behold him in his word, and the Holy Spirit uses that in our lives and transforms us into the image of Christ. Is your life radically changed when you come out of the word after your time with it? Are you beholding Christ and you can see in your life the inner man being renewed day by day as you look to the things that are not seen, but the things that are unseen, as you put on the eyes of faith and see who Christ is and seek to live like him, conforming to his image? Are you like Moses, coming off the mountaintop after spending time with God, is just changed? Are you gazing into the word of God? The next contrast that we see is a contrast between momentary light affliction and weight of glory. He says this in 4:17. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. The second contrast, momentary light affliction, is compared to this eternal weight of glory. And Paul is now going to explain what the affliction is doing in the light of eternity. Have you guys ever been in pain? Have you ever been like, man, what is the point of this? What is going on here? I know that I'm a dad of a couple kids, and there is some nights where you're just getting not very much sleep, and they're crying and everything, and you're like, what is the point of all this? Like, why does this matter? You know, and you're lining up. Maybe it's another affliction that you're going through, and you're wondering, what is the point of this pain? Why does my daughter have to die? Why do my parents have to pass away? Why is this so hard? Why are these trials in my life? God's doing something in the midst of it. It's not for nothing. Look there what he says in verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Paul was encouraged amongst his sufferings and trials because he knew it was doing something. He knew God was using it. He knew that God was using those sleepless nights, those agonizing pain, his body being broken down as he's being poured out for Christ like a drink offering. He knew that God was using that, that God was producing something, that he was bringing about an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison as he lived for Christ. It says this in 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 28, for those of you who might be like, who is this man Paul, and does he really know what suffering is? Because what I'm going through does not feel light, does not feel momentary, and it does not feel like it's worth anything. Listen to this. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. 1 night and a day I spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. Many of us don't have a resume like that, but we can associate with the weakness, with the breaking down, with the outer man decaying. But yet Paul calls us light. That's light. That's momentary. Paul, you lived a little while and you went through this for a while. How is that light momentary? If I said 145 pounds was a lot of weight, you'd be like, no, not really, because you're probably comparing it to something else. If you compared it to the weight of the sun, you'd be like, it's literally nothing at all. One commentator said, he talked about how Paul is looking at this like the storms of life in a teacup. It's just a little thing. In comparison, to the weight of glory in comparison to the eternal weight of glory that's far beyond all comparison. He was looking to something else. There was a weight that these light afflictions couldn't even compare with, that these temporal things couldn't compare with eternity, that these afflictions cannot compare with this glory. I used to do a little bit of long-distance running back in the day, and there was a long-distance runner that most anyone who gets in the sport kind of knows about. His name was Steve Prefontaine, a guy who was a renowned long-distance runner. Back in the day, he was 3.5 seconds away from breaking the world record and the Olympic record when he was running in the Olympics. He was a young man. He died at the age of 24. But still to this day, there's different races that are run, and one of them in Oregon is a large competition one, and it's named after him, Steve Prefontaine, this runner, this man who poured it out for just a couple laps. But now for decades and decades later, we speak of him. He says this, Steve Prefontaine says, "No one will ever win a 5,000-meter race by running an easy first 2 miles, not against me." He went on to say another time, "I'm going to work so that it's pure guts race. In the end, if it is, I'm the only one who can win it." Steve Prefontaine ran as to win the race. He knew that that pain was momentary, but he sought to win that race. And Paul calls us, we need to be as runners who run a race, but not to win for something that's just eternal, because he'll probably be forgotten in 100 years. But to live for something that's eternal. What you're going through right now, believer, what you are suffering, what you are enduring for Christ is light and momentary. Our lives are described as vapors. They are here one day and gone the next. But eternity spans forever. It will never end. One day you will stand before Christ. How are you living in the midst of this affliction? How are you looking at it? Are you looking to the things that are not seen? Or are you looking to the things that are seen for encouragement? Are you looking to other things to bring you hope? Because it is the things of Christ that are eternal, that are beyond comparison, that are going to be that which give you hope to fight through for another day unto Christ. Paul then lastly gives us this last comparison. He says this, he compares the temporal with the transient. The temporal and transient with the eternal. He says this in verse 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul is saying that those who value the world things are passing away. Guys, that which we see is passing away. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Life is hard and then you die, as I heard the other day from someone. And actually, I think there's some kids here teenagers here who I heard said it once. They're like, "I heard life is hard and then you die." And it's true. Life is hard and then you die. But where are you going? What is after this life? Well, the Word of God says there is eternity. There is eternity. And what are you living for? What are you hoping for? Where is your heart invested in today? For where your treasure is, there your heart is also. What are you treasuring? Do you see what Paul is treasuring here? He doesn't look to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. He's looking to the eternal. He's looking to the things that are yet to come. He's putting on the eyes of faith. He is seeking to gaze at the glory of Christ and be conformed to his image. He is looking to the future. He is looking to the unseen realities that are going on. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Are you living a life that is pleasing to God by faith in the trials that you're going through, holding fast to him? Are you looking to Christ? It is only when we walk by faith that we will truly see what this life is all about and how God is using our trials for his glory. If you are looking to the things of the world, if you're looking to that bank account, if you're looking to those things to bring you hope, they will not give you hope. They will give you maybe a fleeting, momentary moment of like, cool, this is great, and then it will pass away. Because that bank account, it just flies away eventually. In your health, it will get worse. I mean, think about this. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and he's gonna die again. Jesus healed tons of people. They were gonna get sick again. They were gonna die again. What's the purpose? To exalt Christ, to point to him, to bring glory to him. Same thing in our lives. It's all about him. The God of this world wants to blind you. Paul just said this before in 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whose case the God of this world is blinding the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The evil one wants you to look to the things of this world for hope and security. He wants you to, but God wants you to see the unseen. He wants you to see the things that are eternal, that will last. God wants to give you true drink and true food. He wants to give you things that will well up to eternity. He wants to give you joy that is not temporal, but joy that could last through these afflictions. And Paul knew that today. He knew what was going on. He knew where to put his hope. Don't look to the things of the world. They're like a waterless cloud. They promise rain. They never deliver water. They're like a spring that is dry. They will never hold security for you. Don't look to the things of this world to be encouraged amongst your afflictions, your trials, and your temptations, but look to Christ. Today, we have examined three different comparisons. We have seen decay versus renewal, momentary light affliction versus eternal weight of glory, and eternal, temporal versus eternal. And just for an application setting, I want you guys to maybe write down some of these questions and think about this throughout your week. When I am looking for God to show up in my life, am I looking to the unseen ways that God is working in my life and conforming to me to the image of Christ, or am I looking to the things of this world? When I am praying in those times, when I'm looking for God to show up in my life, when I'm like, God, where are you? Am I looking to the seen or to the unseen? Am I looking to the things that God said are decaying and passing away, or am I looking to the eternal? When I am experiencing affliction in my life, am I looking to the future glories that are to come? Am I looking to the weight of glory that is to be revealed? Or am I looking to something in this life to bring me comfort? Do I focus my vision each day by what God says in His Word? Or do I allow the world to dictate what I am focusing on? Am I encouraged amongst afflictions, knowing that God is using this for my good in His glories? Or am I discouraged in my afflictions because I want something better in this life, which is passing away?
Like I said at the beginning, I don't know what you guys are going through today, but I do know this. God is doing something greater in your life. If you are a believer in Christ, He is shaping you and working in you in ways that you don't even know. He's preparing an eternal weight of glory for those who love Him that is beyond all comparison. Whatever you're going through, hang in there. Look to Christ who endured the cross, despising His shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God. Put on Christ today. Walk like Him. And look, be encouraged by these truths of the unseen realities that are taking place. Would you pray with me? God, we thank You for today. And Lord, I pray for the believers today who You spoke to, and maybe those who don't know You, Lord, and know that they need to repent and come into a relationship with You. Lord, whoever You're working on, I pray that as You are working in each one of us, that they may just really take the words that were preached here this morning and they might submit their lives to it. Jesus, I pray that we might be conformed to Your image, that we might see that we are to be sanctified today. We are to look to Christ, knowing that He can come back at any moment. May we be found as slaves of You who are working heartily for Your name, seeking to exalt You each and every day, longing for Your glory, for Your coming, for Your kingdom. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.